So today we'll be looking at renewed minds, and we'll trust God to help us navigate why God, first of all, what God does with a mind. The spirit itself is good enough because it was the spirit that was quickened, right? And a lot dwells in the spirit. I mean, our spirit man, you know. We had said that man is a spirit. He has a soul, lives in a what? In a body. And when man fell, and after Jesus died on the cross and he rose again, there was a quickening that happened in our spirit man, and we were brought back to life. And that new life, we are expected to find every grace that would pipe it down from the spirit down to the soul, down to the body, even to the point where your body starts to live the life of God. I mean, your mortal bodies. Hallelujah. You know, we looked at, how God intends us to war, you know, spiritually. You know, where we saw spirituality as warfare, you know, the tactic of our own warfare and not carnality. And I hope I'm correct. I think we, you know, where we talked about the life of faith, you know, living an effective life, you know, we said, one of the things we said is God intends that the life that is revealing to you or that is revealed to you, God wants us to live that life through our bodies so that mortality can be swallowed up in life. Do you understand? So that the life that we'd even live on this earth is looking glorified. Hallelujah. It will automatically be glorified then, but your body is not at the mercy of the decadence of the world. And so diseases and troubles, plagues are not having dominion over us. We're able to go back to all the promises that God made with man when he says that, you know, you would dominate, you would multiply, you would be fruitful, and you would subdue the earth. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 So the renewed mind is a tool that God needs to work with. You know, if a man wants to work with God, he or she needs to focus on his mind. The mind is as useful as your spirit man is for God to download resources, you know. For example, to hear from the Lord, you know, God would pipe down messages through your spirit man. You get? Some of us might have read it in the Bible, or you might know that your spirit man is alive, you know. He's very right. Do you get? Because it's seated with Christ in what? In heavenly places. And so when he rose on the third day, you know, and we are seated with him at the right hand, what? Of the Father, is our spirit that is seated with him. Hallelujah. Amen. But God also expects that we'll be able to transact and bring the good tidings that he deposits in the spirit down to the what? Down to the mind. You know, it's from the mind it will now get to the body. Most times, if it's in the mind, it will get to the body. Because the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is or so is he. So the mind is a tool that God works with. You can't walk with God when your mind is not where God wants it to be. You will find out that even though God desires to walk with you, but you have within you a thing that is pulling you back. So a lot of God's children want to serve God, but they don't have the mind to serve God. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah, in their spirit is the nature to serve God. But in their mind, they find it problematic. They don't find it easy, the way some of you are already finding it easy. And even if you look at your own life, the journey you've made, it wasn't this easy. until your mind learned the ways of God. And I think I had shared here before. For me, it was in my mind, there was a way to talk that was not in my spirit. Then they now had to show me how to talk that was residual in the spirit. Then my mind had to start learning so that naturally the thoughts that I have, they wouldn't be the one that would cause my body to err or my lips to err. Even though the way the mind and the body had worked before in the past, it was according to the course of this word. It's just as you see, you are inspired, then you yap someone. So your mind and your body were co-laborers. Yes, they were. Hallelujah. But when God says that he wants us to walk with him or be partners with him, it's not just enough for you to say that at least you have the spirit, walk with it. For God to do what he would do here for us here on earth, he has to go in that order. What he has perfected in the spirit, he will bring it down to the soul, to the mind, to the heart. And then that heart is as the spirit. That mind is as the spirit. That soul is as the spirit. And then your bodies can now also start moving into that order as well. Hallelujah. So you cannot walk with God if your mind is not in the context. Even right from the days of Adam, God had been walking with the mind. Bible says when he formed man from the dust of the earth, it says he breathed into man. And man did what? Man became a living soul. So the man that was even interacting with God was a mind that was alive. Did you understand what I'm saying? It was a mind that was what? That was alive. But our own journey was, we had an experience of the mind going in a way that God didn't design it for. And then it needed to be renewed. It needed to be brought back to learn a new way of life. And so if you're on a journey with God, one of the things you're doing is the renewing of your mind. If you're on a journey with God, some of us will call it the salvation of our soul. Hallelujah. So a man can't walk with God if he doesn't put his mind on the table. Now, it's first of all, you putting it on the table before God now, first of all, say that this mind does not look like, you know. God is thinking, you know, when he says that as far as the heaven is far from the earth, so are his ways far from our ways. That's not a good testimony. You know, he's just saying that you're where your mind is, and where God is, the distance is miles or millions of what distance is away. But what God wants for us is that we can bring our minds to the table. You know, one of the interesting things about when God says that he wants our mind renewed is because that mind is an important component. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. He says, do not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, perfect will of God. So when we're talking about the will of God, your mind is important. Your mind, we could as well just say that, okay, since God is able to prove this and our spirit man is right, it's fine. But God says that I need your mind renewed. I need your mind renewed. Can you say renewing of your mind?
Renewing of your mind.
Renewing of your mind.
Yeah.
I think I want us to read the story of Abraham and God when God was on a journey to destroy Sodom. Let me get it. Genesis what? I'm in 18, I'm in 15. Are you there? Genesis 18. From verse 16. Okay, from verse 20. This is now. And the Lord said, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grave. Now, the first question here is, who cried against Sodom and Gomorrah? Whosoever did this really got God's attention. Somebody cried against Sodom and Gomorrah, and God hearkened. He says, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry against it that has come to me. And if not, I will know. Then the men turned away from there and went toward Sodom. So Abraham had a visitation here. And after he had entertained them, and he gave Sarah a prophecy that she was going to bear a child, then they now said why they came. And Abraham still stood before the Lord. And Abraham came near and said, would you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Now, I want us to pick some lessons from here. Now, when God says he wants to do something, you know, we always say that he's the one that does things that nobody can question. Now, we may not even be able to changing it is different from questioning it. Questioning it is, you're trying to say that, Esa, it's like you didn't think about everything. And so Abraham made a very, very, very bold step here. Now, most of us, when God speaks, we hear and we leave the room. Right? Go to that place and slap that man. Yes, Lord. And maybe God now even give you scriptures. Back then, maybe, you know, every form of confirmation. Do you understand what I'm saying? We love to obey God, right? But there was an interesting behavior here. You know, when God speaks to people, you hear and then you do. You hear, you do, you hear, you do. But Abraham didn't just hear and passed and said, oh, ah. And yeah, literally, Sodom and Gomorrah did a lot of bad things. And so God was certainly just about this action. But Abraham said something. Would you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Let's move on. Suppose there were... Now, if Abraham didn't do this conversation, we wouldn't know that there was a negotiation of life. Suppose there were 50 righteous within the city. Would you also destroy the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous that were in it? Far be it for you to do such a thing as this. You don't get what I'm saying. I am a friend of God. Now, but that I am a friend of God is not... what Abraham was doing here, let me just the gun, right? What Abraham was doing here was, he was using a renewed mind to engage God. Or let me say, he was using his mind. The question for me is, the mind that is able to dialogue with God, sit God down, figuratively, and say, think of this thing that you are trying to go and do. Now, that's not your speaking in tongues mind self. That mind is somewhere else. Like I said, the best of us, we are privileged to know that information. And probably we might start our prophetic ministry that day. We will start with Isaiah style. Woe. Woe unto Sodom and Gomorrah. Yeah, because we have information. A renewed mind is that mind that can partner with God. You can't... See, all these things, it's not as though there was a special revelation that Abraham knew. I mean, if you probably look at his walk with God, it has been God dealing with him. God had never brought a conversation of Lot to him. Or God has never brought a conversation of how he intends to even deal with. The only thing Abraham knew about how God deals with people is that I will curse those that curse you. Every other thing is... how will you give me a child? Is how God was dealing with him. How God was dealing with him. How God was dealing with him. God didn't train him in negotiation tactics. That this is how to negotiate with the heavenlies. All the conversation and all the trainings that Abraham had had with God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. All those conversations, they were working something in him. And this beautiful day, we saw the depth of what God had worked in him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
See, me, I believe, me, personally, I believe this is what really we can say that Abraham became God's friend. This one. He says, far be it from you to do such a thing. It's only your friend you say, Kaema Sobemo. That's far be it. Or less, maybe, there's no Yoruba... you guys don't have Yoruba. I have Yoruba and Pidgin. You should download some of this version. You can just be laughing. Yeah. They wrote it with some kind of Nigerian humor. It says, far be it. Meaning, don't think about that. For you to do such a thing as this, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous should be as the wicked. Far be it from you. Like literally, it's like he knows he's far from. He's like, you know, it's like when you're talking to an elder, and you're telling the elder, "Don't do such a thing." You know, the distance between God and Abraham is like that. No. It's like we don't know what we're saying. If we're saying it's like elder to, is far apart. But Abraham had the strength to engage. Far be it from you to do such a thing. Shall not the judge of all earth do right? Like, he was not speaking. God was not even saying. He's like, God was just looking like this. Yeah, he didn't say one sentence and he stopped. Then he's waiting for, like, he said it, then he concluded the disposition that God should have. So, no, no time you can. Let's even say you have mind. You know that way we say you get mind. You say, God, please have mercy on them. That's the mind you are. God, have mercy. You know, there are some people that, you know, your word says that, you know, you won't bring him to question. This one is bringing him to question. Far be it from me to do such a thing as this, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous should be as the wicked. Far be it from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? So the Lord said, so God found interest in that conversation. Okay, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the places for their sake. You can move on, please. Then Abraham answered, like this is a correct dialogue. Indeed now, hi, who am but dust? We are the demon level. I know I'm advising you, but I know I'm but dust and ashes. But I have taken it upon myself to speak to the Lord. I think we should stop reading this because some of you are like, ah, this relationship being not work well, long is consuming fire. The problem is the state of the mind determines the quality of the relationship. If the mind is not renewed, you won't see friend, you won't see this. Now, it's not so much about maybe God wanting to do something, then you are the you're trying to correct. That's is that audience. It's not necessarily. See, God knew that he would only destroy Sodom because he knows that there is no 50 righteous people there. Except you don't know the God you are dealing with. It's the beginning from the end from the beginning, the ancient of days. Yes, he's all those things. The privilege here is that audience. You know. The question for me is, if God gives us audience now, what are we going to say? God, Twitter. Say, my God, don't launch Twitter. God, Tinubu. The question is, do we see the renewed mind is the mind that knows what is going on in the mind of God? Because when he shows up, kilo vessel, is it bo? Is it food? Is it even church? He says, suppose there were 5 less than 50 righteous men, would you destroy all the city for lack of 5? So he said, if I find there 45, I will not destroy it. And he spoke to him yet again. Suppose there should be 40 found there. So he said, I will not do it for the sake of 40. Like, this is wasting time. Like, even if you were God, the first thing you say, go straight to the point. But this audience is beautiful. Like, so much attention. Like, as he's saying it, is you are seeing a man that is endeared to the texture of the mind of another. Like, okay, wait, if I see 40, well, what do you think of that? Okay, but what of 35? Like, if we took this bucket of conversation out of the scripture and we just put it in, you would say this is a conversation between two friends. A friend going to do something, then another friend accosted him on the way, and then it was advising that probably that other friend didn't look completely what he intended to do. Then he said, let not the Lord be angry. But I will still speak. You know, this is like somebody that understands he's a consuming fire, he's a loving father, he's the ancient. he knows every, he's like what he master alone. See, when you know, when they say you know the ways of the Lord, that's what it is. Moses also was here. You know, God said go. He said, no, I will not go. You know, we go here and we leave. Once we are here, we're gonna be hearing twice as we have gone. We don't, that we have even heard God is a privilege. Because he's even scared, like, you did hear God. Me heard God. But these men were able to stay in a place where they didn't have quickened spirit, though. It's because they've learned the ways of God in their soul. Yeah. That soul had strength to have audience. How much more now will we have quickened spirit, but we can't have audience? You know that song that says audience of one? That song is true. Yeah. Like, is the way God desires that when we come to him, we are coming to have an audience. like he's talking, and if, you know, and it's not so much about you're a parrot, no. Obviously, God doesn't discuss what should not be discussed. So if this conversation was never to exist, it won't exist. Like sir, no, I know what's in your heart, oh son of man, keep quiet and focus on the son I need to give to you. He will keep quiet now. What was he looking for? He's looking for his son. He says you keep quiet because of the son. He will keep quiet. Moses told him, he says, I will not leave this mount except you go with us. He said, no, go. I will send my angels. They will. He said, no, I know you. Unwinding me. He said, I should go. Yeah, see, that's where God intends for us. I won't even say that the life would not be fine if you just hear and just go. But it's like this. The fullness of his will is in that renewed mind. He says that we may be able to prove that which is the good, acceptable, and what perfect will of God. Honestly, I won't tell you. If I told you, because most are thriving on just even hearing. Most. Like, hear and just go. Most. But as Jesus told the disciples, he says, I no longer call you servant, but I call you friends. You know, the problem with Jesus is, with the disciples, when he says A, they will say Z, is the mind. When he says, I will die, the mind is, how will you die? We need to do kingdom here. We need to establish this ministry here. And you're saying you want to die. No, you can't die. Then he said, let not the Lord be angry and I will speak. Suppose 30 should be found there. And he went on and on. So he said, I will not do it if I find 30. And he said, indeed now, I have taken it upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20. Okay, I will not destroy for the sake of 20. Then he said, let not the Lord be angry. And I even a man will be angry already. A man. Not the Lord, though. A man. A man is already angry. Like. You know, we have always been the ones in rush. See, you know, the only conversation that God doesn't want to hear, you know, he has said it in the scripture. He says, my ears are not too heavy to hear you. Neither is my hand too short to save you. He says, is your iniquity, is the deceitfulness of your heart that has caught me from you? Because the reason why people ask, they ask amiss, like the genesis of the trouble, even after you have come to the Lord, is where the mind is. Verse 33. So the Lord went his way as soon as he had finished speaking. So they finished that conversation. And Abraham, I'm trying to imagine what would be in the heart of Abraham after this. He's like, hey, she God will give me a son like this. Yeah. Like, I've not even collected my son. You know, maybe if I've collected my son, then I can now say that, God, But I've not collected my son. It's the prophecy they gave me. And he returned back to his place. See, a renewed mind would not gainsay the Lord. You won't bring into contempt that way. Not that me and God, we've had a very serious... Will he not change his mind? No. So the deceitfulness of the heart is a product of an unrenewed mind. So even though yet born again, but still can have deceitfulness in the heart. Though born again, but deceitfulness in the heart. Hallelujah. Let's go back to Romans chapter 12. Let's start from verse 1. Thank you, Father. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to prove. So what Abraham was trying to do was his ability to prove. His ability to prove. Like this is amazing. That God still expects us that we can come. You know when he says, can we reason together? You know, I think that's Isaiah. See, that he's not anybody that can reason with God though. He says, can we reason together if our sins be as red as scarlet? They shall be made as white as snow. He says, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. If what you are bringing for that reason, if he sense, it can't enter here. It can't. He says, come now, let us reason. The question is, what kind of reasoning is invited to this reason? Like this exercise of, it's like saying, like, let's come and dialogue. Let's come and talk. He says, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson. This is one of my favorite scripture when I gave my life to Christ. Because I knew things were red. And they were... You know, there's some scripture you must love because you know they speak of your state. Yeah, me, I love this one. Because things were red. And I needed it to be made as white as snow. I don't know what crimson means, but it's red too. It should be what? As wool. It says that you may prove what is good. That you may be able to prove the will of God. So the will of God over our lives, God still requires that we attain a type of mind to be able to prove it. Now there are two things that proving suggests. One is your ability to admit it. That this is the will of God for you. The second one is your ability to order yourself in that will. So God has a lot of will that people are not getting to prove. The child of God that is still messing around is still a child of God. God has a will towards her or towards him. But she would not be able to prove it if she doesn't journey from whatsoever the world has made that mind or that her mind to be. For example, a mind that cheats, God intends that there's a will of God that mind would custode eternal things, will preserve the hearts of men. But God expects that mind would journey. And then will say, this is mine. And I should order my life. I should order my life according to that which is the will of God. It says that you may prove. That you may prove. Can we read this in Amplified, please? Thank you, Jesus. No, I sense a lot going on in our midst today, even at this hour. And do not be conformed to this world any longer with its superficial values and customs, but be transformed and progressively changed as you mature spiritually by the renewing of your mind, focusing on godly values and ethical attitudes, so that you may prove for yourself. You may prove for you, it's for your own self. It's for you to bring ownership to it. What the will of God is. That which is good and acceptable and perfect in his plan and purpose for you. So there's a lot of God saying you will be great that a lot of minds can't prove. See, that God said you will be great. If your mind don't prove it, you won't be great. Let me say that again. His word is yea and amen. But if your mind is not in the position that God expects it to be in receiving that word, it won't come to pass. Because the partnership God seeks from you is that your mind will be upgraded to see what God is saying. When he says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. In Proverbs, it was making comparison with wicked hearts. Can you start from verse 1? When you sit down to eat with a ruler, consider carefully what is before you. And put a knife to your throat if you are a man given to appetite, meaning if you're a glutton. Do not desire his delicacies, for they are deceptive food. Do not overwork to be rich. Because of your own understanding, seize. Will you set your eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle toward heaven. Do not eat the bread of a miser, nor desire his delicacies. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. The morsel you have eaten, you will vomit up and waste your pleasant words. Do not speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of your words. Let's stop there. So we can see the context where we brought that verse. And so a man will still engage in deceitfulness if the mind is not renewed. Like, it's not like you will deceive the world. You will deceive yourself. Because what you won't be able to do, you won't be able to prove the will of God. You know, there are a lot of things that is hanging over our head that God just needs your mind to be there. Like, we would all know, the reason why you fast and pray is not for God to come. It's so that you can prove his will. It's so that you can have an audience. It's not so that you can move the hand of God. It's for your, at least we know that it's for ourselves. But that for yourself is so that your mind can be, like we always say, so that your mind can receive from the Lord. You know, your frequency, your antenna is tuned to the frequency of heaven. Now, all that we're saying is this. Your mind is in a renewed state. When God says white, you will see white with a renewed mind. Now, there's a thing or two that God brings out from our renewed mind. You know, the quality of your mind is your mentality. Yeah. You know, when they say, this person has a bad mentality, your mentality is not correct. You know, those different descriptions of mentality. If it cannot be said of that mentality is godly, is spiritual, is wise, is peaceful, is easily entreated, you know, all those things that we talk about, the wisdom from above, and even everything that is godly, is saying to us that mind, the mentality of that being, is flawed. So the quality of your mind is the mentality you have. So if... Before I would say, let's reason together, I'm hopeful that you don't have a strange mentality. Because by the time you come there, you will say we should not make red as crimson. You will say we should cut their head. Or when God met Abraham, you know, if he didn't have a renewed mind to have that dialogue with God, he could just say, yes, they deserve it. They deserve it. Your cry came to them. Ah, God, you even gave them ears. You'd have sent angel, the one that anyone that destroys. So the quality of the mind is the mentality of that heart. If you're spiritually minded, then God would give you what I call spiritual quotient. Now, we know IQ, right? We know intelligence. That intelligence is, most of it is locked up in what we've learned as per the ways of the world. Most of it. I didn't say all of it. But for us to be able to, and this is why we don't bring our brilliance to God. The problem is the brilliance is flawed. It's not like you can't use that brilliance somewhere else and something good will not come out of it. But the perimeter where you have brought that brain or that sense, it requires another brain. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so the mind that is renewed is a mind that is developed or being developed in a spiritual quotient, your ability to reason spiritually. Is that not beautiful? Now, we live a lot of abilities in the spirit, and we are handicapped. So, for example, for someone, if God appears now, the best you would do is just... Hallelujah. Thank God, Jesus. God told me yesterday. Yeah, that's the best of us. There's no quotient to reason. You can't, there's no perimeter of reason. There's no subject. You know, the trouble at times is there's no topic. Like, Kilovebolonso is going somewhere else. You help him consider that he has the matters of the whole world in his hands. Like, God, I think you even branched. You can't waste. The people that would enjoy that friendship with God, they are the people that God has developed their spiritual reasoning. And your spiritual reasoning is not in your spirit. It will be in your soul. Somebody is just hearing that for the first time, but I'll say it again. You won't live the sense heaven wants you to have to order your life is what is coming out from a renewed mind. That's why we will not sing and go and steal. Because you will sing, you will preach, you would do all the things in the house of God as God has enabled you by gifts, graces, you know, every of those things that are spiritual. You know, like Papi said, you don't order your life by gifts. What you would order your life with is by that spiritual reasoning that has been developed by the renewing of your mind. So the reason why we will stop the song and go and live is because we've received life in the soul to renew the mind, and then we have the reasoning to live out there. They will not cheat us out there. It's not that you'll be speaking. No, no. You already have the downloaded life that you can say, no, cut it into two. That you said it in a plain term. You don't say, oh, wait. And that's why you not tell them to wait in boardroom. Like, all of you, wait. I need to go and pray. No, they need to move on. The expectation is that you've developed a lot from renewed mind that has enabled, there's something called spiritual quotient, your ability to reason that has been spiritually refined. Meaning the perspective with which you are bringing that reason is not from the flawed or the fallen nature. Like, there's no gimmicks. You know yourself that there's no gimmicks. Like, it is this. You know, Jesus said he will not take us out of this world. He says, leave them. Let them find grace to receive what they need to live in this world. See, the sons of this world, they have the deceitfulness of the heart to live this world with. Now, they will keep cheating us because they are using the reason. You can't use that reason. You know, if you use that reason, you've erred. So you shut down. Then you become the dumpyard. Like, you hope that they reason well. You know, sometimes you hope your boss is a good person. No! Do you have the spiritual reasoning to work with a bad person? You know, we always put responsibility. Let people be fine. Let people be nice to us. Because we you know, like I said, we are not the minority. We are on the advantage mode. Yeah. And the reason is because we've received a higher order of reasoning. Yes. And so if they put a billionaire on the table, how are we going to share it? You will not wait and hope that the spirit will steer their heart. Some hearts will not allow the spirit to steer them. Yeah. There are some things, if you don't do it the way God wants you to do it, it will never be done. Like, God, inspire them. God, help me touch. You know, God is touching your own heart. Yeah. Oh, Veki, heart is there, touch. Veki, heart, illumine, go touch. God, let me touch that. No, it's your own heart I want to touch. God, let me touch. It's your own heart I want to touch. So that you can utter the right words. Because there are contradictions we would face. That God expects that is this mentality that we've downloaded from the spirit realm that we'll be able to use to order our way out of it. The Bible says when you face temptation, he has already made a way of escape. The reason some believers don't have spiritual sense is when they are locked up in temptation, they are hoping God will take the tempter away. No. You have enough spiritual sense that is it window? Is it? How can I flee? Yes. Ah, God, no, take this. And some of us, we even stupid. Look, God, give me a sign. Ah. Sign. Me, I don't wait for a sign, no. When there's already a spiritual quotient to make decision at that point.
Yes.
This is what Papi was saying, that this is what you live your life with, not by the gifts. Yes. The gift is locked up in the spirit. You are just, and that's why I say you can aspire your natural life, and it won't be useful if you're just living by the anointing. Because that is locked up in the spirit. It's not in your soul. That's why you can do that and still be a bad husband. Yes. The reason why you would do that and still be a good husband is because you receive spiritual caution down to be the husband and the man that God wants you to be.
Yes.
So you won't leave things on the table for people to decide. If they put 1 billion there and they say, how shall we share? You tell them how to share it. Yes. You don't say, God, guide their heart. Guide their heart. Anyone they give me, I'm fine. No. You already know what God will use the money for, what percentage. And when they ask, and see, guys, I will tell you, many opportunities will come our way.
Yes.
If we are dense, we will be cheated.
Yes.
For example, if somebody asks you, I want you to do a business with me, how many percentage? No, don't say anything you give me. No. You think he prayed? Or you think he will go and pray? See, the reason why in the SU movement they desired Christians to be joined with them is what they were bringing spiritual reasoning. They know that when they are stuck, they will say that this is where we should pass. It's not so that they will not have evil with them. Like, we don't want people to steal money, so let's go and hire. No, it's because these ones know they have a reasoning that we don't have. And let me shock us. Some of us might be thinking, this can't stand par to par with the best of the IQs. But I tell you not. Daniel did it.
Yes.
See, he even gets to the point where Joseph will say, don't tell me that dream. Yeah. Maybe you that you have IQ, you need to know the situation to figure out. You know, you say, what's the problem? No, me, I don't know. I don't need to figure out what the problem is. See, when you can tell someone boldly, I can help you. Mm. It's not because the person ever said the problem. Mm. Like, even you don't know what the problem is. You just know that there's a lot of reasoning that God has embedded in my soul that can figure, that can navigate. Because if I leave it up to them, they will see the good works. It's me that will decide to do the good works. No, they won't come and tell you that, what can you do? No, I'll tell you, this is what I can do for you. Yeah, there are a lot of places you will enter. Your phrase is, I can help you.
Yes, sir.
I don't know if anybody is going back to work on Monday and you want to go and tell your boss that I can help you. Yes. I'm here to help you. See, I know what I'm saying, and I have witnesses. There are things we need to own because of how well we've refined our spiritual quotient. They won't understand your tongues. You might even prophesy from now to tomorrow. They won't understand. Because the natural mind cannot discern the things of the spirit. So when you say, and even a dry bone came alive, no, they don't understand that. Tell them that, give me your financial statement. If it gets it wrong, Lele, change this number. You guys don't spend like this again. Then you will see that you guys will become profitable. Yes, that's what we are saying. You didn't get that from Harvard. See, when they say the wealth of the Gentiles shall be given to us, it's because we now have what the Gentiles don't have. See, I love the story of Daniel. When they raised the contempt against Daniel, and Daniel was thrown into the pit. See, the restlessness of the king is amazing to me. You know, the restlessness of the king is this. Like, what Edom will Daniel perform again in the lion's den? Is it that they will remove the teeth of the lion? Bible says he couldn't sleep. Now, so he didn't go to the den to go recover his corpse. Bible says, then the king, when he heard these words, was so displeased with himself and said, okay, wait. And no. Can you go back to the night where he couldn't sleep over the night? If you can't find it, it's fine. Okay, let's start from here. 15. Okay, then this man assembled unto the king. Go to 16. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel this, and Daniel, and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thy servant continually, he will deliver thee. 18. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. See, when they give us project, people should be like, what is really going to come out again? See, that we have been predictable for this long, it says a lot about how much we have downloaded from God himself. We say we have the ears of the maker of heaven. Yeah, we are professing Christians, right? If you're not a professing Christian here, raise up your hand. We all are, right? See, we can only partner with God if we're able to renew our minds. He says we'll be able to prove that which is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Lastly, let's go to Philippians chapter 4. I wouldn't leave my mind where my mind decides to stay, because this chameleon way my mind is behaving is deceiving itself. There are serious issues my mind needs to face. See, we can't be believers that don't like challenges. The reason why you naturally don't like challenges is because you don't have all the solution. But if we serve a God that knows all things and is able to bring solution to every challenges, then we should be the most desired of all men. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And, you know, the way we want to end the service is to... begin to bring a lot of fast track into our minds, because it's as though we're even late. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything that is praiseworthy, meditate on these things. We'll come back to verse 8, but let's read on. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, this do, and the God of peace will be with you. Let's just read through. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, but that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound, to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Please go back to verse 8. For whatsoever things are true. If there's anything that is worthy to be in this true bucket, or in the noble bucket, or in the just bucket, or in the pure bucket, or the lovely bucket, or good report bucket, even if it's a virtue, or anything that is worth to be praised, this is what should be in our minds. See, if all of these things are in our minds, we would have the right conversations with the Lord. We would have the right reasonings. We would have the right ability to make the right declarations. Yeah, we'll really be able to prove. You can't prove when there is no frame of reference. This is what gives you frame of reference. Whatever is true, let that be your constant state of meditation. So that when there is a will of God around that thing that is true, you have a frame of reasoning. If God brings nobility your way, and you've never thought about nobility. Nobility is not in your soul. You will give it to the pigs. You will take your pearl. You will cast it to the swine. When they say that God is a royal person, you don't have any frame of reference. You will misbehave. You know, this should be like our daily constant state of desire to meditate. What's the thing that is true today that I want to think about? What's the thing that is noble today that I want to think about? See, when an Abraham saw the king of Sodom, and he didn't desire the reward of the king of Sodom, he has understood nobility. That even if there's somebody that can bless me, that is without any issue. And so he says, I will not allow you to bless me so that you will not say. Because I know what true blessing is. And that's why we say the blessing of Abraham. I know what true blessing is. So when you bring what is not even looking like the will, I can also prove it and test it. When they say test all spirits, He's not. I remember so many years ago when I didn't have knowledge. Let me excuse myself, you know. You know, there was a day I think when I think about it, it was very strange. So I was just in Inlag, and I was like, ah, let me test this spirit. Let me test this other spirit. Let me, that one, what your eye is looking for, you will see. At some point, I was like, ah, you know, they said if you look like this, you will see people walking with their head. So there was it, I now went after the main bus stop, where they take bus to Yaba. I was not trying to do like this. What, that one is not this one. That one is what your eyes is looking for, you will see. Yeah. So I'm not telling you to be in the superfluous state of your mind. Like your mind is onful. No, that's not what I'm saying. Or the, I think they call it the superfluity of the mind. No. I'm telling us the things that are tangible, the things that are eternal, the things that are godly, the things that God desires for us. It says whatsoever is just. What falls under the bucket of purity? That's what I'm, so that when the Lord comes, I am able to prove. You know, just the same way, you can't do any test if you didn't read. There's no frame of reference. Even if the teacher asks you the wrong question, you know, some people say, ah, this question is not complete. You don't know. You're like, ah. Really? The question is not complete? Or the question is wrong? Yeah, because you don't have a frame of reference. You can answer it. And you go to chapel afterwards. Ah, we did that one very well. After exam, like, chapel, eh? I think kokokuko. Ere, chapel. Says whatsoever is lovely. I don't know if anybody here is thinking about anything that is lovely. You desire a better job. You desire a peaceful home. You desire sound health. It's not a life that is hung on the discoveries of doctors. It says whatsoever is praiseworthy. This would give you a renewed mind. You will be at the point where God is even almost saying, come, let us reason together. You will have a frame of reason. God doesn't bring talkatives. Or the person that, like they said, you know, when God meets you and says, what do you want? It's what's truly in your heart that will come out. You know? If what's in your heart is makeup, you say makeup. If what's in your heart is, whatsoever is in your heart. When he says, what do you need, my son? Even though you've been crying nations, the real nation in your heart will speak. But when it comes, we won't be ashamed because we already have a frame of reference. This gives us a frame of reference. We are able to dialogue. See, this is what intercessors need. Because the thing is, when you say you want to stand in place of someone, the question is, what's the frame of reference? When you say you want to intercede for someone who is currently an enemy of God, what's the frame of reference to intercede for a current? That's what Abraham did. Sodom was the enemy of God, and there was yet a reference. It's not maybe the just being dealt with, and then we're trying to come. No, this is an enemy of God. And the reference, it wasn't even saying, God, yes, deal with them. There was a rich dialogue. I pray God will give us this heart. Amen. You know, what I've preached to us this morning, or this afternoon, is what we need to go out there to use. But I'm really trusting God that we will give God the grace, we'll give God the opportunity to give us the grace to really know what a renewed mind is. A renewed mind is very, very, very powerful. A lot of the things we are struggling with, we wouldn't struggle with them. There are things we abandon because it big past us. Yeah. But we would be able to invite issues You know, there's one level where you solve your own issues. There's another where they bring the issues of the nations to you. Thank you, Father. Lord, we are so grateful. We desire to partner with you in every area. We desire to come into places where you expect us to live up to expectation. We desire to have the experience that men can truly say that these ones are from God. We're not asking for something that is not useful. We are asking for the ability to live a high-ordered life. We ask for the ability to live beyond the frailty of the flesh, beyond the tornness and the chokiness of our world. Though yet everyone around us might say that the best of us is when we're in church. We desire that life that is mirrored from the perfect life that is resident in the Spirit. And we connect our pipes. We connect our vessels. We connect our channels to that which is true, to that which is pure, to that which is noble, to that which is of good report, to that which is praiseworthy. That we may come to a point of reference. That we may come to a point of reasoning when we approach the will of God. Father, help us today. Help everyone in this room. That we will not be a shadow of ourselves. We will not be men that are just strong in words. But we will be men that can demonstrate the Spirit by the order of the life they live. We will be men of prayer truly. Men that can really speak on behalf of God. Men that can help bring people out of their bondages. We will truly be the saviors that come out of Mount Zion, that proceed to destroy the Mount of Esau. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name I've prayed.